Down the tees and ace! No, it's missed!
Oh.
It's missed! It's called by the linesperson.
Oh, no.
Let's send it upstairs!
Imagine if this
Has
is
she
it.
Won the match? Let's see! It's in!
Hello and welcome to the AO Show. I'm James Parkinson. Day 11 at the Oz Open and a huge day of semi-final tennis. On today's show, we get the lowdown on what's trending with the social media team.
People love that sort of stuff, that kind of human interest story.
And we hear from the legend himself, Mr. Rod Laver.
This is unbelievable to be a tennis player in this life.
But first, let's get you caught up on all the semi-final action, starting with Rafa Nadal cruising on through, defeating Stefanos Tsitsipas in three sets, 6-2, 6-4, 6-love. Following the match, Rafa spoke about facing the next generation of players, having defeated several of them on his path to the final.
That's the beautiful thing about this sport, too. You know, we are able to share generations, and now there is a young and very good new generation coming, so that will be interesting. They are here already. We were talking about them, but they are really here now, fighting for the most important thing. So just wish all of them a very successful career.
Lovely words from Rafa, acknowledging his opponents. The younger generation has had a fantastic tournament, but the old guard isn't moving over just yet. In the women's semifinals, Petra Kvitova defeated Danielle Collins 7-6, 6-love. In her on-court interview, she spoke about her performance and playing under the roof at Rod Laver Arena.
I really worked very hard to be in the finals of the tournaments, final of the major. Finally, I could make it kind of deep in this major, and I will really enjoy the final. And whatever happened, and I'm already very, very happy. First, I was very tired for myself. I was pretty nervous. I couldn't really, have a full swing and really be more relaxed than I was in the matches before. So I'm really glad that it came in the tiebreak and in the second set. I think happier than the fans than the roof closed, but I like play indoors, so it's really, I think, helped me a little bit. And doesn't matter. I mean, it was kind of warm, but if it's open, I'm still gonna fight, so it doesn't really matter.
Yes, either way, she got the job done today. For further reactions, here's Tim Solly with Alyssa Roenick.
Alyssa Roenick, I'm a senior writer for ESPN back in the States, and I'm here covering the men's and women's tournament for ESPN.com.
Alyssa, first of all, Petra Kvitova, she's been on a wild ride. Her last big appearance here was a semi-final in 2012. Some people thought she'd never make it back, and here she is in an Australian Open final. What are your thoughts?
I couldn't be happier for her. She's one of those players that, she's one of the most likable players on tour. I think the other players think that. As someone who covers women's tennis, I think that's easy to say. And to see her back, and as you said, not only did a lot of maybe fans and people from outside of the sport not think she would come back, she even said today after the match that there were very few people who believed after she went through that knife attack in 2016 that she would be able to get her left hand in any sort of position to get back on tour, let alone get back into the final of a Grand Slam. So, I mean, I don't know if there's a bigger feel-good story here than Petra Kvitova, but she is also playing lights-out tennis. She is playing some of the best tennis we've seen.
Got the backhand wing. Collins with a defensive backhand sits up for Kvitova, who will kill this one. She stands there. She smiles, a broad smile. She clenches both fists, but it's a muted celebration. She's happy, but she's not ecstatic. She knows there's one more round.
She had a great lead up to this tournament, didn't she, Petra? She won the Sydney International, and so she got a really great lead up. You know, I think people had written her off against Ash Barty the round before she met Danielle Collins, and yet she seems to be getting better and better with each match.
She's on, I don't want to get this wrong, but I think she's on a 10-match win streak. She also, in finals, won her last 10 or 8 finals. So she's one of those players who, when she's hot, she just gets better and better and better and better as the tournament goes on. And I think we've seen that from her here. Some of the shots she made today against Danielle Collins were just, you just wanted to stand up. I think the whole crowd, obviously we can't cheer in the media box, we just wanted to stand up and just slow clap for some of those beautiful shots. Her serve was incredible. But she said also in this offseason she's completely revamped her physical training program, and you can see she just looks strong and fit and happy and ready. I think to win a Grand Slam.
And in the other women's final, Naomi Osaka continues her dominance, defeating Karolina Pliskova 6-2, 4-6, 6-4. And as we've come to expect from Naomi, she was as humble as ever post-match, speaking about her opponent.
I played her so many times, and honestly, she beat me more than I beat her, so I was expecting a really hard battle, and I just told myself to regroup in the third set, and no matter what, just try as hard as I can, and I managed to win. So, I guess just experience playing matches like this. To be honest, I was so scared serving second serves. I was like, oh my god, please. And somehow I made it, so I guess that's experience. I don't know, though.
Well, I think it is experience. She seems to deal with the pressure so well. And for more on her performance, I spoke with AO Radio commentator Peter Mercado. Peter, Naomi Osaka winning today over Karolina Pliskova. Initial thoughts on the win today?
Oh, very impressive. Yeah, getting the job done in three sets. I was very impressed when she lost that second set to just lift her level back up again. Boy, she's hitting the ball well, particularly she can create great angle on the forehand and the backhand side. And I'm just loving the way that she is attacking the ball. She's doing everything right. Her serving is great. She's got the ace count up nice and high. Could have been a tricky match today, but she got through. And I think she's got a great personality. Talking in the post-match interview and in her media, she's got such a great personality. It's very raw, so I hope no one changes that. But it's going to be a hell of a final.
It certainly will be. She has brought a lot to this tournament. As you said, her personality is really refreshing to see. She's had a few matches where she's been, down in the first set and come back. Have you seen her progress throughout the tournament so far and how she's shaping up?
Yeah, I think the US Open win was a huge one for her, that ability to win all of those matches and obviously the final and the controversy and everything. She still managed to win and she's on a roll, so she just keeps adding matches to that tally. And I think the fact that she comes in confident, if she wins on Saturday, she'll be installed as the new world number one, so a big prize on offer there. And we do see some emotion there on the court, but I think we don't see too much of it, that she loses complete focus of what she's doing. Yeah, she's going to be tested at times because there's quality players she's coming up against, but she's finding a way through. And I think that experience that she had at the US Open, the fact that she could win a major, is going to be enormous.
Serve down the tees, an ace! No, it's missed!
Oh.
It's missed! It's called by the live person.
No.
Let's send it upstairs!
Osaka jumped the ball on the right center circle.
She was so confident. It was a late call by the linesperson.
Oh, imagine if this
has
is
she
it.
Won the match. Let's see. It's coming in. She's praying. It's in.
Osaka obviously backed up the quarterfinal with the semi the next day. That schedule have any impact on her at all?
No, because they got the day off between the semi-final and the final. The fact that the match was played under the roof, being 40 degrees outside, I think that obviously helps as well. It wasn't an overly long match across the three sets, so it wasn't an overly taxing match if you think about being a long, sort of drawn-out affair. So I don't think that's going to cause too many problems. They're used to it anyway. On the WTA level, they're used to playing matches back-to-back-to-back along the way anyway. So, look, a chance to prepare, to take some time out, maybe a bit of a practice the day before the final, and then into the final. She knows exactly what she needs to do in the preparation, and she's looking pretty good.
Absolutely. Peter, thanks for your time.
Oh, always a pleasure.
Well, it was an extremely hot one for day 11, and the new heat stress scale was in full effect, with the roof at Rod Laver being closed and matches on outside courts suspended. And it was the talking point of the day for AO Radio's Twilight Show. Here's Bridget Duclos, Richard Evans, and Craig Gabriel.
Today, this brand new heat policy came into effect. And just for those who don't understand, basically what's happened is Tennis Australia got together with Thermal Ergonomics and the University of Sydney to work out how they could put a policy together that made
sense.
I thought
we'd done all this. Didn't we have a bulb?
Not that wretched, well, wet bulb rule.
They used to fry an egg to work out if it was hot.
Oh, yes, exactly. I mean, the only thing we ever saw with the wet bulb is somebody just cutting off the top of a glass bulb and pouring water in. That would have been the wet bulb.
Well, this is very technical. The extreme heat policy is based on four things, and this is what they are, which I think is actually very clever. It's the air temperature, radiant heat, or the strength of the sun, humidity and wind speed. They put it all together. If it hits five, bang. So what this happened this afternoon during the first match we watched, and as a result, the roof was closed on Rod Laver Arena and Margaret Court. The rest of the tournament stopped outside because of the heat policy. Firstly, do you think it's a good policy, Richard?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to set a level, say, you know, if it reaches, what is it, 40 degrees?
Yeah.
Is that,
it's 42,
is that what it
I
has
think.
To hit?
It's all four things have to
yeah,
come
yeah,
together.
Yeah. Then you close the roof, and that's the end of the argument.
Should you close the roof during a set, or should you wait till the end of the set?
I think these days you got to look at the player health.
Yeah.
And I think the roof should be closed. But you know what? You're going to be damned if you do, and you're going to be damned if you don't.
Yeah, and it's going to hurt one player or favor another player. And unless you have two players who are equally happy playing in heat or indoors. Today, that wasn't the case.
Well, that's...
Because you had Danielle Collins, who's grown up in the Florida sunshine.
Playing outdoors.
Loves the heat, absorbs it, plays well in it. And a Czech player who plays at least 7 months of the year indoors. Under a roof.
You couldn't have it so extreme.
So it was the two opposites. And obviously, Danielle was going to be more upset with the roof closing than her opponent.
This year marks 50 years since Rod Laver won his second calendar Grand Slam, and Jonathan Hovenaars caught up with the man himself to reflect on this remarkable achievement and a new short film celebrating the Australian legend.
50 years, can you believe, since your second Grand Slam, and you've just seen for the very first time Rod Laver, Launch of a Legend, the movie. What sort of memories did that evoke for you, Rod?
They all come flooding back when you see me playing someone like Tony Roach or something in there, and feeling that all that came back, because that was a close match. So how can you keep going? And I just being able to be here in 69 and be able to... You know, say in Brisbane that this is unreal. But you know, if you pull it off, you know, it's a happy moment.
Your accomplishments have been well recognised, and it feels like every year we're honouring you for another achievement. What is the one thing that you are most proud of? The thing that you wake up in the morning you're most grateful about?
You know, just being, you know, certainly records are to be broken, but to wake up and look out and think, this is unbelievable to be a tennis player in this life and with myself. So, you know, that to me is one of the huge thrills that I get, is going on the court. And yeah, it's a disappointment when you come off saying that you got close, but to come down here and be able to say I'm heading for the Grand Slam, and I had never said that in the position of, well, I'm going to enter all the tournaments, yeah, for the Grand Slam. But if I get lucky, if I don't have injuries, sickness, or anything like that, you know, you've got a chance. So that's how I felt about the first one I played here. And like you say, one down, three to go.
My final question is this. What is your favourite thing about the modern game that you didn't get to experience, and who would you most like to play in the modern?
I don't know who I'd like to play. I think I know that I would get beat up by Nadal and Federer and Djokovic. I'm sure of that. But then again, you know, I have to realise that I had a wooden racket. They've all got composites. And so, you know, I think, you know, that would be the first thing that you'd have to realize. But tennis is just unbelievable how big it's grown. Yeah, and you come down to Melbourne and see what has happened here, and I'm honored that the Australians, you know, respect my game and the enjoyment of doing it.
It's a legacy that will stand for many, many years to come. Rod Laver, thank you for joining us.
I thank you.
Lastly today, social media is an important part of following the Oz Open these days, keeping fans informed and sharing the human side of this great event. So Tim Solly spoke to Joel Smith to learn about what's trending in 2019.
My name's Joel Smith. I am a social media producer for the Australian Open social media team.
Tell us about the big stories so far this Open. What have been the big articles on your social pages that have been trending the most, and which mediums do people tend to be trending the most on?
So I guess Twitter's that service that we provide, which is the quickest and the most up-to-date. So that's kind of more a match kind of style commentary as well as a news service. So you'll see a lot of the trends come from Twitter. So off the top of my head, Serena, when she played the young 18-year-old the other day, basically when she went in for the handshake, she gave her a hug and said, you know, it's okay, don't cry, you play really well. People love that sort of stuff, that kind of human interest story. So that went really well. Obviously the Murray stuff at the start, you know, Murray's a big name. And then just recently, even last night, during the women's double, some good content that came out of that was the girl in the front row that knocked the phone out of her friend's hand. So people, you know, got a good low out of that. And yeah, it did some good numbers for us last night.
It's so interesting to hear that, you know, you're not only covering the tennis here, but it seems like the big things that trend are the things that are human and relatable. And are they the things that you're looking for the most here at the Open?
Yeah, I think so. Like, obviously, you have the big name players, which, you know, get a lot of interest. Two of those being Roger and Serena. Now that they're out, we kind of do have to look elsewhere. Not to say that we're not providing a service for the end of the tournament, but we know that good content comes outside of the actual tennis as well.
We're coming to the pointy end of the tournament now. What kind of numbers are we going to be looking at of hitting the pages as we hit the finals time?
It's an interesting one because I think 2018 was one of our best years with the whole, with, you know, Roger getting his second title in a row. It was a record-breaking year for us last year, I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we're hoping that, you know, especially Naomi Osaka with on Twitter, there's a big Japanese audience, so we'll see some good numbers there.
Joel, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Tim.
And that's it for day 11. Thank you for listening. A very exciting few days are ahead of us, so please join us once again for day 12. See you then.